Look at God's great love in action, starting in verse 9. This is the doctrine of God, our Savior. After these things, verse 9, I looked and behold, a great number, which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now skip down to verse 13. Then one of the elders asked me, saying, who are those arrayed in white robes? Where'd they come from? Verse 14, I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is God the Savior at work, most likely using 144,000 to lead these people to Christ. God is a Savior. God loves the world. Even when we were sinners, Christ died. While the world enters the final and greatest rebellion, God is seeking out the lost. What amazing love. What an amazing portrait of God's love in action for lost sinners. At the worst time, as the world is disintegrating, as the moon, remember, is blood red, we saw last time, and as the black sackcloth is over the sun, as the first six seals' devastation is wreaked, as countless graves are being dug. How many people? It would be equivalent to 200,000 people an hour are dying continuously around the clock. It's a lot of graves to dig. Think about the stench of death. And while that is happening, and while people are hastily digging graves, God sends a river of life-giving voices streaming out across every part of the planet. 144,000 radiant, bold, spirit-filled bondservants of God begin the work of telling every creature. In fact, Jesus described this moment in Matthew 24, verse 14. And what he said there is that they are going to go to every inhabited place on earth, and they're going to speak to every ethnic group and tell them the gospel. They aren't emailing them. They're not sending them a DVD. They're talking to them. And they go to every human and share the gospel. And this will be the single greatest evangelistic event of all times. God sends out a missionary band that is unstoppable, focused on only one thing. They speak the gospel of redemption and Christ's blood to every person still breathing. I can just see this. I mean, here's this guy digging, and he's got his face wrapped in a cloth because he doesn't want to get cholera or whatever, you know, from the dead person. And he's digging this grave, and all of a sudden this guy comes up, and he's just smiling and radiant. This guy's scared to death and running from death, and he goes, hi. And the guy says, well, here, I'll help you. I mean, and he says, you know, this guy is a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and you're a sinner too. And he's going, who are you? And he starts telling him about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who died in his place. And that person right there facing death, staring it in the face, can either reject or accept. And the amazing thing is these are so visible that most likely the converts are slain as fast as they're saved, because these 144,000 are being hunted and hated by the Antichrist. And he sees them stopping and talking to someone, and they go, did you listen to him? Did you accept? And the person goes, oh, yes, I'm forgiven. Actually, they cut their head off. I mean, that's amazing. Well, it doesn't stop there. Look, it even gets more amazing. Look at verse 11. This is God's desire for worship. It's the doctrine of God's glory. Look at verse 11. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. This is the chief end of man. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. And here we see those who are liberated forever from sin's curse, and they are forever grateful. And all glory, laud, and honor is due to our great God, and on their faces they humble themselves before the one who saved them from their sins, and they worship him. Did you know that's why we were created? See, that's what's going to matter in 50,000 years. How much of our life was lived to the glory of God. And that's a choice we make incrementally all day long. The Lord says even the way we eat or drink can glorify Him. You know, that's why the little pausing for prayer kind of sets the tone when we bow. You wouldn't believe how many witnessing opportunities come from bowing your head. And when you raise your head, you notice people are looking at you and you say, "Hey, do you know who I was talking to? Have you ever met him? He's here. Do you see him?" I mean, you could just, there's countless ways, but it doesn't end there. Look at the ending of the chapter, starting in verse 15. This is God's eternal plans for his bond slaves. Doctrine of rewards. Therefore, verse 15, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them, and they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst, nor the sun will not strike them, nor any heat. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. What's going on here? Well, think of the joys. These are to God's bondservants. Now, specifically to those converts of the 144,000 that are building up around the throne, but secondarily, we're also God's. Everyone that's born again is a bondservant. What does God promise them? Number one, endless worship. They are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. You know, the other day, last week, Bonnie and I were invited to this Christian Southern quartet deal in New York, and they took us in, and we were on the front row. I've never been in the front row of a concert in my life. I could see their eyelashes. I mean, it was unbelievably loud, too. And I thought, this is really nice. You know, you're not doing this between someone's hairdo. You know, that's the problem not having, or of having hair. When you don't have hair, no one minds sitting behind me except the glow, you know. But I was sitting, there was nobody in front of me. And I mean, it's just, I could feel the music pulsating, you know. Look, that's this endless worship. They're right in front of the throne of God, and they get to be in the most precious spot in the universe. But it doesn't end there. There's actually seven benefits they have. And he who sits on the throne dwells among them. I mean, can you imagine the Lord's milling in the crowd with us? Endless companionship. That's God loves us and wants to be with us. Endless satisfaction. They shall neither hunger or thirst anymore. They are never unsatisfied. Talk to some addict who spends all their money either for alcohol or for chemicals. And you know why they spend all their money? Because as soon as the initial rush is over, they need more, and they need it soon because it's evaporating quickly. They're never satisfied. Everything has very short satisfaction span. Here, they're never dissatisfied. There's endless satisfaction, endless protection. Nothing strikes them, no bother. They don't need sunscreen or anything, you know. Endless guidance. The Lamb shepherds them. They don't have to worry about tomorrow and making arrangements. Just enjoying the creation with the Creator. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Kind of like being in a National Geographic magazine on steroids, you know, just seeing everything. And the Lord explaining it in full color. Endless life, living fountains of water, endless comfort, no sadness. You know what? That when I finished this, I thought, you know what they're saying? They're saying, hallelujah, what a Savior. And that's who we have.